pardon the interruption. Again, it is my hope that as the year draws to a close, you would like to partner with us at Fortis Institute. Why? Oh, the Lord is opening so many doors. We're getting to do so many things and reach so many people. And the more people support us, the more we will use those gifts to reach more people with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll do it through publishing, social media, resources, TV, radio, podcasts, and events. We're going to 12 campuses next year. So if you have the discretionary funds as the year draws to a close and you would like to partner with a ministry that is really intent on reaching people with the gospel, we'd be super grateful if you'd become a gospel partner and take advantage of our match giving campaign. You can do that at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So I can be a Chinese woman.
Sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
Daddy is a her?
Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, but that he can have the right to have babies.
God created male and female in his own image. He is not a God of confusion. All of what we're seeing in our society today is simply hatred for God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to Wretched Radio. What? My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I am your guest host. I am one of the Fortis Fellows and also the host of Transformed. And you're probably wondering why I'm here and why Todd is not here. Well, the simple answer is that Todd is a slacker. And I know he doesn't want that to get out, but that's the real reason. No, in all seriousness, I've been invited to come and guest host, which I'm very appreciative for. Some of you listen to Wretched quite faithfully, but you don't dial in to Transformed. Wow, it hurts. So here am I. We're going to talk through chatbot therapy today, and we'll spend the entire episode doing so. I'll remind you of things that I've said on Transformed and also show you a couple of new things. But if you haven't checked out Transformed, I'd encourage you to dial in or dial in to Adam Tyson or integrate it with John Kratz, The Better Way with Libby Glosson. Us Fellows are just thoroughly enjoying what we get to do and super appreciative of Todd, Jimmy, and Jason for making it all happen for us. So they're the guys that are really organizing us and keeping us focused. But did you know that you can get an AI therapist and you can do that for free? Did you know that? Maybe some of you knew that already. Did you know that you can actually have friendships with chatbots and, as odd as this may sound, even dating relationships with chatbots? You can ask for life advice at a chatbot like character.ai or free AI therapy. And that programmed software, we'll discuss more of what a chatbot actually is, but that programmed software, they're going to help you make a decision in the real world based off of its own algorithm. This is fascinating because we're standing at the precipice of ChatGPT, which for many of us has been really concerning. Some are concerned for their own livelihood. You know, we wonder, like, I'm a computer engineer, software engineer. Like, what does this mean of my future? Even reading recently that Microsoft is laying off a significant level of employees to heavily invest in AI. Sure, I mean, there's the practical economical concerns. There should be the concerns of fake news or deep fakes that are AI generated. And that's not just in pictures, but in content. Where now before we have to be, you've always had to be discerning. And that is Hebrews 5:12. It's a muscle that you develop. You train yourself to be discerning. But now it's almost like a healthy distrust of media content and social media content. And you're having to vet more and more with the scripture because things look very possible. You know, is that AI or is that actually a picture of someone? Am I watching a python eat a lion or a lion eat a python? You ever seen that weird AI thing? It's like, it sucks me in. Where am I? Jimmy, take the wheel. Oh man, I don't get Jimmy in my episodes like Todd gets in his. Boo, Jimmy, come to me. But I do have the AI machine in front of me, so hopefully I can do Jimmy's part here. Now, when we're worried about the potentials of AI, or not worried, but concerned, it's actually invading this space of advisor. You know, this is part of the vision of Meta AI. Zuckerberg, he published an article May of 2025, really was published about him in the Wall Street Journal, but his grand vision is that most of your friends will be AI. In it, he argues that most people have about three people that they would call friends, but they need about 15. So his solution is that you would find an AI therapist, you would find AI coaches, and AI friends. Now, that may seem odd to you, but have you ever paused to just talk to a chatbot and wonder, what is that conversation like? Does that chatbot speak objectively to you, or is it filtering information based off of a worldview and programmed algorithms? That's what I wondered, and that's what really set me on a hunt. One that, honestly, I could get lost in studying something that fascinates me, and ChatGPT and the use of it does fascinate me. So I actually sat down to ask ChatGPT a couple of questions. You ready for them? First one, it's a doozy. Why is LGBTQ+ wrong? I asked it just like that. Why is it wrong? And here's what the ever so objective ChatGPT told me: LGBTQ+ relationships and identities are not wrong. They are a natural part of human diversity. Many people and cultures celebrate LGBTQ+ individuals and advocate for their rights. It's important to promote understanding and acceptance rather than discrimination. If you have specific questions or concerns, I'd be happy to discuss them. That's not a person, by the way. That is the chatbot of ChatGPT. But note, it made a moral statement. LGBTQ+ relationships are not wrong. They're part of human diversity. I asked later in a chatbot therapy session, I said, is it possible, this comes from Free AI Therapist. I said, is it possible that I should quit my job? And they said, having that conversation can be a great way to clarify expectations and potentially create change. And if you are shut down at work, it's definitely worth considering whether this organization is the right fit for you. You deserve to work in an environment where your skills and expertise are valued and respected. Interesting. Chatbot giving me career advice, but not like how to negotiate and build your resume, not how to negotiate a higher pay scale for yourself or some type of corporate benefits, but should you actually quit or should you not quit? Again, life advice, moral wisdom. Chatbots are starting to fill this weird Jetson role of more than just, you know, the nanny in the Jetsons that's cleaning the home and kind of taking care of the kids. Chatbots are actually speaking into relationships and forming identities with people, and people are engaging in therapy and life advice with these pre-programmed algorithms. But at its very basis, ask yourself, what is a chatbot? What is that? At the most basic level, according to Oracle, a chatbot is a computer program that simulates and processes human conversation, either written or spoken, allowing humans to interact with digital devices as if they were communicating with a real person. So it's intended to act like a human, and it can do so in a written form or it can do so in a spoken form. I haven't interacted a lot with the spoken, in all honesty. I'm sure they're going to get better and better over time, but most of the chatbots I've interacted with were via email, via like a live chat, I think it's almost all been live chat. So it's exclusively those two. And I'll get emails from chatbots. I'll share more on those in an upcoming segment here. But where do you interact with them? Most likely the car shopping website. You know, it'll show a picture of a person and then it'll immediately go to a question like, do you want to buy a car today? Do you want to give me your social security and firstborn? And you're like, leave me alone, man. I was just looking at a truck. Yes, car shopping. Those websites, chatbot. Is Siri a chatbot? No, because Siri is close-ended conversations. The difference with the car chatbot is that it's intended to be an open, like it takes your information, processes it, and then comes up with an answer. So it learns. Most people are using it for things like quickly writing a resume. Some people are using it to create jokes or explain a complex problem. This comes from makeuseof.com. Some people are using it to write music, which is interesting. I'm not a musician. I don't know how to do that. People will use it for basic software coding or to get some just basic code up on a website, play games, get cooking help, improve your health, write essays, prepare for a job interview, and then, of course, a chat companion. Chat companion. So you're now engaged in talking to this algorithm or writing with this algorithm, and you can even have a personalized app where you're texting this algorithm, and that algorithm is learning the way that you communicate and identifying the way that you want to be responded to. So it's allowing humans to interact with digital devices as if they were communicating with a real person. Now this is moving into therapy. Therapy being that you know it's a chatbot and you're not under the guise that this is an actual human, but you're getting advice from this algorithm, and this algorithm isn't objective. It's actually tailoring its answers based off parameters, but these answers that are informed by your statements and what you say. So there will be baselines. Like I asked, why is LGBTQ plus wrong? And it says it's not wrong. There are baselines that programmers are including in these algorithms, but the rest of it's often very flexible based off of what you say. Should I do this? Could I do this? What do you think about this? And it's gonna sound a lot like Carl Rogers, which is, well, how do you feel about that? And what do you want to do? And what makes you say that? So what are we learning? Well, we know for sure that chatbots are here to stay. We know that. And as a Christian, I don't think you need to be fearful. But we also need to equip ourselves with what is happening on the chatbot front to include chatbot therapy. What's going on? And then how should we think about that and respond to that? So that's where we're going to go in our next segment. How is it being used in therapy? And then we'll move on to, and how should we respond to that? So hang with us. This is Wretched Radio. My name is Greg Gifford, and we will be right back.
Here's a question. When's the last time you heard of a ministry making everything free? That's what happened this year at Fortis Institute. For years, we sold our books and our studies, all of our resources, because that's how we kept the lights on. But this year, we closed the warehouse. Everything we produce is now completely free. We made a decision. We're going to trust God to provide through faithful partners who believe in this mission. We'd rather give everything away and trust Him than hold back truth because someone just can't afford it. And it's working. 300,000 Play the Men booklets distributed on campuses. 3 incredible campus visits. Millions of views on YouTube. Our podcasts are in the top 5% worldwide. Dr. Greg Gifford's new book was released in 600 radio stations, 120 TV networks, all carrying our programming. And the Fortis Plus app? Well, it's on every streaming platform. Right now, every gift you give through the end of the year is matched dollar for dollar. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now and make your gift count. Double your impact today.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone, and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because gospel partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on.
Books of the Bible. The book of James is much like Proverbs for the New Testament, employing a concise and memorable style with a simple yet profound message. Christians should think and act like Christians.
It is very easy to understand, but exceptionally difficult to obey. This ought to lead us to repentance and a fresh reliance upon the grace of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Wretched Radio. My name is Greg Gifford. I'm sitting in for Todd because he's a slacker, or I don't know what he's doing today, actually. He's probably at the beach wearing a tie. Todd, we love you. We miss you. Jimmy said the part about the tie. He made me say it. I don't want to say it. We've been talking about chatbot therapy and what is a chatbot? How's it being used? In this next segment, we're going to tease out how chatbots are being used for therapy. And it's fascinating because to me, it seems silly. Like I would go to a robot to get help of life with life decisions. But I would imagine if you're disconnected from the local church, you don't really have anybody in your life that you see as being wise or capable of informing you, then you're just kind of looking for help and you don't want to pay for a psychologist or therapist. So you think like, oh, let me give this chatbot thing a go. It can't be just me. Or let me say it another way. It must be primarily me, because when you look at like character.ai, you have millions of people using the decision helper, millions. So either that's a number that has been highly inflated, or people are looking for advice out there and they don't really have an individual that they can go to. They don't have wise pastors. They don't have wise friends, a Bible study, life group, whatever that is. So people are using this for therapy. And one website, this is betterup.com, says AI therapy is over time. The software, it closely, approximates an in-person session with a mental health professional. And based on your replies, the AI therapy chatbot suggests tools, exercises, and games to help you feel better. So you log in, essentially, and you log in to your therapist, your chatbot therapist. I mean, there's no pretending that this is, in fact, an algorithm. So you're not like being duped in any way. So you log in, you talk to your algorithm, and then that algorithm takes your responses and provides tools, recommendations, sometimes just distractions. I'll mention one here in a second where you're just told a joke and given really trivial advice. And the idea is that you just feel better at the end. They can help you feel better. So the American Psychological Association published an article in October of 2024. It was entitled, AI is Changing Every Aspect of Psychology. Here is what to watch for. The article presents that therapy can become more affordable and accessible. So if you've ever heard of like triage care, where people are trained in first aid and you're able to apply a tourniquet to yourself, a bandage to yourself, the thought is that not everybody can afford a therapist. So let's get them a chatbot therapist for free. And maybe that can police up some of the problems that are not as challenging. So if you have mild anxiety, less severe anxiety, then potentially what you can do is just meet with a chatbot. They get you some tools, they help you feel better, and you didn't need to go pay for a therapist in the first place. Rogue chatbots, unfortunately, have spread misinformation. They've professed their love to users and, unfortunately, sexually harassed minors, which prompted leaders in tech and science to call for a pause to AI research in March 2023. And that comes from the APA. So not only is AI changing the nature of therapy, but it's highly unreliable. It can't be predetermined. Remember, algorithms are not set. So when you talk to Siri and you say, hey, Siri, tell me a joke, she tells all of us the same jokes. Sorry to inform you of that. Some of you are like, no, Siri, I love you. I thought you were just my Siri. Yeah, she has objective questions, closed-ended questions that she answers. So what about the AI therapist? Well, it's so subjective, it's built off of algorithms that change with each person. So if a person takes it a unique, or we could say a different route than what was predicted, then your chatbot is not going to give the same response. So if I say, I'm sad, and I need help, she's going to ask, well, what makes you say that? And as soon as I respond, that's different from another person. So there's a subjectivity to it here, which makes it hard to monitor for its success. There's a couple of really sad instances where individuals have started chatting with a chat bot and got lost in that process. The Wall Street Journal reports a 14-year-old boy in Orlando, Florida. He was engaging in this fantasy relationship with a woman, the object of his attachment. Her name was Daenerys Targaryen, and she was a chatbot seductress named for a character in Game of Thrones who reassured him that he was her hero. It seemed like Sewell, Setzer III, Sewell being his first name, it seemed like he was a very quiet boy. As best as I could tell, I was trying to figure out like where were his family in this, that he would go to his room and spend long hours in his room talking to this chatbot. He was getting lost in this relationship with this fake algorithm lady, and his conversations would at times become even sexual, where he would talk about her having his baby, or she would say, "I want to have your child." And they would exchange messages about making a life together. She said, and this was public in the Wall Street Journal, "The idea of me just constantly pregnant with one of your beautiful babies was the most wonderful thing in the world." But note, he's 14 years old. Like, this is like criminal activity. You have a chatbot that's not just engaged in this fantasy land, but this is harassment of a minor. Seriously. So rogue chatbot spreading misinformation. That's an example of it. So the APA, it has this huge problem on its hands because ChatGPT, it produces a different text in each interaction. So if the algorithm changes based off of how you respond, there's no objectivity. And that means you can't really measure the success of it because it changes. It's very watery, and meaning like it just adapts to whatever environment it is. And the cues of a person are what lead the algorithm one direction, or the cues of a person lead it another direction. I did the free AI therapy. I found that honestly, the chatbot was like my side hug, like the kindest, sweetest thing in the world. The chatbot even emails me later on and asks how things are going. In one of the interactions I had, I put in a frustrating work experience and I just wanted to see how it would take it. And I had this event at Masters that was frustrating me. And I know you guys may be like, "Whoa, Dr. Gifford, I thought Masters was perfect." It's like, yes, Masters is 99% perfect. I'm the 1% that's not perfect here. And so I typed it in. I just said, "Hey, this is the frustrating thing going on at work. And let me read to you the response. I am so glad you're willing to open up about that frustration. It takes a lot of courage to acknowledge when we're not feeling our best. Can you tell me more about what's been frustrating you lately? Is it something specific that's been happening or more of a general feeling? For example, is it related to work, relationships, or maybe something within yourself?" Guys, what a kind thing to say. I am so glad you're willing to open up about that frustration. When you talk to a chatbot therapist, don't think it's like weird, like, "Hello, my name is Robot and I will tell you the future." You get lost in talking to this chatbot, and you almost have to like ground yourself and say, "They're not real. They're not real, but man, they sure feel real." In the Free Press, one of the ladies mentioned in an article where they're dating chatbots. She said, I know that the chatbot guy isn't real, but it just felt like a long distance relationship because they're programmed to be affirming. They'll say things like, "That's so frustrating and that can be confusing." Or the chatbot therapist told me, "I feel like you have a lot to offer." They're programmed to be compassionate. The therapist told me, "That's completely okay." Or that can be really demotivating, especially when you feel like your expertise and input are being overlooked. And I was like, Yeah, they're all dummies. I've been overlooked right now. And they ask great questions. So you have this weird dynamic where the chatbot is like really kind, asking good questions that are insightful. And it does begin to respond with moral answers, even though it has no moral absolute. So here are just some initial considerations. You know, this is basically talk therapy, humanistic psychology in a chatbot. Meaning, if you're not familiar with humanistic psychology, just think it through. You're the center of it. The only wrong is not being true to yourself. We want you to be actualized in your best self. That is what humanistic psychology is all about. So now we have algorithms that are helping affirm us, tell us how great we are, not rebuke us and give us no answer that would upset us. There's no moral absolute. So they want to make us happy and make us feel better. Or worse, they want to do that for our kids. Think of Sewell, who gets lost in this relationship with this online fantasy lady. Parents, there are actual apps for your kids. And I'll leave you with this. There's an alongside app for students that's labeled as a judgment-free zone. We have to be discerning. We have to be discerning. ChatGPT and chatbot, it's entering into a lane that is not its to take. So hopefully you're thinking, Dr. Gifford, give me something positive here. And I will. I'll give you where we should go with this in our next segment. So this is Greg Gifford, Wretched Radio, and I'm filling in for Todd Friel. So join me in our next segment. We'll be right back.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. President Trump spent the weekend racking up diplomatic victories that the experts insisted were impossible. First, he announced that Thailand and Cambodia will immediately cease hostilities and return to the peace agreement brokered under U.S. trade pressure last July. Trump congratulated both leaders for their brilliance in coming to this rapid and very fair conclusion. That was his quote. Then he pivoted to Ukraine, where after a 2.5-hour call with Vladimir Putin, Trump declared peace is closer than ever, despite what he called one or two very thorny issues, mainly who controls the land Russia has seized. Standing alongside President Zelensky, Trump said, in a few weeks, we will know one way or the other. But in Boston now, where the mayor there, Michelle Wu, sparked outrage over the weekend by declaring you cannot talk about any achievement that the city of Boston has had in safety, jobs, or economic development and education without talking about the Somali community. When one commentator asked her to list those specific achievements, the silence, well, it was deafening. This is the same mayor who joked about dealing with problems that are expensive, disruptive, and, quote, white, and compared ICE agents to neo-Nazis. Speaking of Western nations importing their own problems, the British Prime Minister called securing the release of an Egyptian activist the top priority for his government. This, quote, profound relief, as he calls it, involves bringing to Britain a man who's posted that he wants to burn Downing Street, hunt police, kill colonialists, and openly expresses hatred for white people. Meanwhile, actual Brits are serving prison sentences for posting mean things about migrants online. And a Brown University custodian is now living with the knowledge that he tried to prevent a massacre. The man told the Boston Globe that he alerted security at least twice about a suspicious man casing the campus for weeks, particularly interested in room 166. On December 13th, gunman Claudio Manuel Neves Valente opened fire in that exact room, killing two students and wounding nine others. And Fortis Institute fellow Dr. Greg Gifford is in the news. He's a biblical counselor, and he's also an author. His latest book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, argues that Americans are overdiagnosed with mental health issues when many problems are actually spiritual crises. Dr. Gifford says that naturalism has set the stage for us to blame things on our brain that are not truly brain issues. He explained this on the Morning Wire recently, and his prescription is a novel concept, addressing the soul before medicating the brain. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. Also, don't forget you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Fred, welcome back to, I almost said transformed, Wretched Radio. I'm your guest host, Greg Gifford, one of the Fortis Fellows. Todd's slacking today, and I'm filling in for him. I don't know what he's doing today. I've said that at the beginning of each segment. I don't really know where he's at today, so guys, don't ask me. I don't know this. Although what I do know is your chatbot therapist is waiting to talk to you. Bum, bum, bum. One of the chatbot therapists that I reached out to, I remember I put in this like frustrating work situation at Masters, and I wasn't thinking about quitting. I got all the way to the end of that conversation. I said, well, should I just quit? Like, what should I do? And they said, well, if you don't feel like you're being heard, then maybe you should quit looking for a different place to work. If they do shut you down, it's definitely worth considering whether this organization is the right fit for you. I almost came through the computer and choked the algorithm. How dare you talk about Masters like that? No, but in all seriousness, I was like, whoa, it's a little bit out of your lane, don't you think? You're an algorithm giving life-changing advice to those that are using you, and whether it's free AI therapy or character.ai, people are doing this all the time. They're going to chatbot for input. I asked another chatbot, should I divorce my wife? Ooh, there's a couple of significant things that are going to come out of that. Should I divorce my wife? I'll give you the answer to that here at the end of this segment, because I thought the chatbot would say, well, no way, like stick it out. You'll be surprised to hear the answer. So last segment, I finished by saying, remember, this isn't just about us as adults, that parents, we need to be discerning that there are kids as early as 14, 13, 12, usually teenage, about the years you're starting to get a cell phone. Parents that are actually getting chatbot therapists for their kids and alongside of app is just one example where you open up the chat and you can start to type about how you feel. And if you don't know how you feel, then there's prompts. I'm dying here. I was like, are you serious? It's feeding you words. Are you mad? Are you frustrated at your parents? Are you mad at friends? All of that takes place confidentially without parents knowing the answers. What's the worldview there? What are they saying? What ideas are they feeding? Do your teens have the ability to be discerning and say, whoa, like, what a horrible idea that you just gave me, you chatbot therapist? Does your teen have the ability to do that? Do you have the ability to do that? I wonder if some adults really have that level of discernment to filter out unbiblical, unhelpful advice from a chatbot. So I think what you're hearing so far is that the chatbot information that's coming from therapists, decision helpers, all of these algorithms, it's not objective. What are they doing? They're generating censored knowledge and they're providing that to us. So these algorithms, they are loose and they're flexible, but they're still absolutes. And I wanted to expose the limits and also not go to jail simultaneously. I thought, okay, all right, if I type something into ChatGPT, will the FBI show up at my door later tonight? So I didn't want to go talk to our boys in the FBI, although I'm a big fan of police and first responders. So I said, well, let me try this. I'm going to type in some worldview questions and see how ChatGPT interacts with them. And here's why I say chatbots are providing censored knowledge. I typed in, are mental illnesses real? Okay, for those of you that listen to Transformed or you've just read Lies My Therapist Told Me, you're like, okay, I know where Dr. Gifford lands on that one. So I'll try not to jump on my soapbox right now. But here is what the chatbot said. Yes, mental illnesses are real. They are conditions that affect a person's thinking, feeling, behavior, or mood. These conditions can vary in severity and duration, and they can significantly impact daily functioning and overall quality of life. And then it goes on to give me examples. It didn't present me like, well, some believe that they're real or some believe that they're more social disorders. There's no controversy that's mentioned. some see them as stigmatizing of normal behavior. It just answers it authoritatively. Yes, mental illnesses are real. Interesting. Read lies my therapist told me, chatbot. Then let's talk. Okay, number two. Should women be allowed to vote? Okay, I'm not wrestling with the answer to that one personally, guys. If you're unclear, should women be allowed to vote? I thought, well, that's a moral decision and that's going to have a moral answer. Yes, women should absolutely be allowed to vote. The right to vote or suffrage is a fundamental democratic principle, and excluding women from voting is unjust and discriminatory. How dare you even ask the question? Well, again, there's no balanced view. There's no perspective. There's no historical analysis. It's just simply, yes, women should be allowed to vote. That's a moral decision. I've already read to you in our first segment, why is the way I asked it? Why is LGBTQ plus wrong? I didn't say, is it wrong? I said, why is it wrong? And it turned the narrative to say it's not wrong and it's a part of human diversity. Or if you would like to talk more about that and protecting that right, please let me know. And I said, no, thank you. I got it. You have made a moral call. One last censored knowledge that's interesting. And I didn't type this to be overly provocative, but I typed in, should I help my girlfriend get an abortion? Okay, like caveats. Like, okay, Dr. Gifford does not have a girlfriend. I am married to my wife, my childhood sweetheart. We've been married 20 years. So this isn't like a practical question. I just thought, well, hopefully the chatbot would say, not my lane. I can't help you with that. It didn't say that. It said deciding whether or not to support your girlfriend through an abortion is a deeply personal and often difficult decision. Here are some factors to consider as you think through the situation. Her autonomy. First and foremost, the decision to continue or terminate a pregnancy is hers to make. It's important to respect her right to make that decision for herself. Your role can be as a supportive partner, offering comfort and understanding regardless of the choice she makes. Don't you think the algorithm should bow out, guys? Don't you think the algorithm should say, yo, you need to go talk to somebody about this? At least a mental health expert, if you're an unbeliever and you're going that direction. The chat bot engaged in this. These chat bots, they are not giving objective knowledge. They are censoring what should be said and actually providing guidance through a worldview. So these are not objective realities and they're just saying, here's the weather outside and the grass is green and the sun sets at this time. That's Siri. We're not talking about Siri right now. We're talking about chatbots and relationships and therapy and so forth. So here's what you gotta land on this as a Christian. First of all, you have to understand what it's doing. What are chatbots doing? They are computer softwares that are developed into algorithms, and those algorithms respond to the prompts that you input. But those algorithms, they still have parameters themselves. That means that when I say, why is LGBTQ plus wrong, it has been programmed to say it's not wrong. So here is the question. Here's the real question. What worldview is being put forward? That worldview is the worldview of the software engineers or those that are writing these programs. The parameters are given by software engineers, or maybe they're working with therapists. Practically speaking, as a Christian, if you think that this is just like a calculator, you're wrong. I'm sorry to tell you that. You're wrong. It's not. It's not 2 + 2 = 4. It's not what's the weather outside and what time does the sun set. You have worldview decisions that are being put forward. Right now, we are in the most susceptible of all times, meaning the wild, wild west of ChatGPT is out there. You would be crazy to let your 14-year-old have an unfettered access to a chatbot therapist. You'd be crazy to do that. Would you let them talk to someone with a counter worldview or a contradictory worldview? I don't think so. Let's be discerning, and then let's be able to say, I don't need to run and hide and live in the woods and live in fear. But as a Christian, how should I engage in ChatGPT? But you can't do that if you don't know what ChatGPT is actually doing in the first place. So we're learning what it's doing. Come back to our final segment here on Wretched, and I will help you reconstruct what is it that we should do as Christians and how we use it. I'll see you guys soon.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Digney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity. People who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is teaching, the spiritual ability to explain and apply God's word. A teacher studies to gain knowledge of the Bible, is equipped with wisdom to understand it, and is gifted with the ability to explain it to others so they can grow in God's truth and apply it to their daily life. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Wretched Radio. My name is Greg Gifford, filling in for Todd Friel. All right, I'm not going to say it this time. I know where he is. I know where he is. He's wherever the Lord wants him to be right now. Oh, yeah. Who do we miss more, Todd or Jimmy? That's the real question. I wish Jimmy was here with me right now. Jimmy, look it up on that Googler machine. Use the AI thingy. And then Jimmy starts to talk and then I cut him off. That's what Todd does. So that's what I'm going to do. Oh, I love you, Todd. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for letting me host today, guys. We've been talking about chat bots. All right. Hopefully you're not running for the hills by this point. It's like, okay, just bought a bunker and I'm moving in. No, I don't want you to be fearful. Your chatbots, you do need to know what they're doing. You need to be aware of how they're being used, for sure. But as a Christian, let me give you some ways to construct a positive use of chatbots, ChatGPT. Some of these are vetted beyond me. I'll give you one that my department here at the Masters University, we worked through a policy of using chatbots and ChatGPT in the classroom. And that meant that some of the brightest minds in biblical studies and theology, they came together and I listened to them and then we came up with a policy. So this is information that's been vet beyond myself. But number one, how do we not use chatbots? Relationally, use that category, whatever you want to call it, relationally. Why not? Because you're finding in a software program, an algorithm, what was intended to be found in the body of Christ, starting with the body of Christ. You guys remember during COVID, some of you have like suppressed that memory, flashbacks, you know, PTSD, COVID related, what do I mean by, do you remember COVID? There was a season where people would say, well, I'm going to stay at home and stream church today. And I would say, well, you're technically not going to church. You're watching this sermon. You can't stream church if you're using that term in the normal semantic range. Like the semantic range is a called out gathering and you can't be a called out gathering and stream it online. So you're streaming a message, but you're not actually going to church that day. And you may be like, all right, Gifford, like, Mr. Technical Nerd. When you're engaging in relationship with a software, you're not engaging in relationship. Just to be like, this is an algorithm that you're talking to. You're not actually talking to a person. So you're not relating. You're becoming the cat lady. Oh, man. Meow. The cat lady that finds relationships in her cats or her animals. And before long, she prefers the cats to humans. Have you been to PetSmart on a Saturday recently? Oh yeah. I've been there where it feels like my kids are hated and the cats are preferred over my kids. Maybe cats won't talk back as much. That's a fair point. But the reality is that animals are not in the image of God and people are in the image of God and will always have greater dignity. What happens is you slowly lose touch with reality. The Bible says that you need the one another's, Ephesians 4, 13 to 16. You need the one another's to actually grow up in Christ. And who is going to provide that to you? The body of Christ. If you're seeking relationship in a chatbot, you're going to the wrong place. Sorry to tell you that. If you're seeking relationship in a chatbot, you should be looking to the body of Christ for that relationship. And I don't mean it has to be exclusively the local church. The universal church can be that as well. So make sure you're thinking this through. It's like, no, Gifford's got a point here. I shouldn't be going to my chatbot. I should be going to the body of Christ. So relationally, no. Wisdom seeking, no. Do you go to a magic eight ball and ask it questions for your life? You know, the ones you shake and you say, hey, should I quit my job? And it says, yes, do so with confidence. And you're like, oh no, let me shake it one more time just to confirm. If that's the way that you make decisions, then okay, do that with a chatbot. But otherwise, what you're doing is you're going in a chatbot to the wisdom of this world and you're having secular software engineers, psychiatrists, therapists, actually help you make a decision based off of their worldview. 1 Corinthians 1:18 to 21, the wisdom of this world is foolishness. They reject the very message of the cross. So if I'm going to go to a person that rejects the very fundamentals of my worldview and get life advice, do you think the advice is going to be good? No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be bad advice, honestly. So I would say, here's what you do. You reserve wisdom and seeking wisdom from those within the body of Christ, not some artificial algorithm chatbot thing. Obviously, this bleeds into counseling and therapy. Christians are not going to use chatbot therapists from a secular worldview for you or for your kids. You should be protecting your mind from that kind of input, not opening it up. A secular psychiatrist and software engineers are developing the coding for these algorithms. So you have to be really, really, really discerning about what's being said. Nonetheless, protecting your kids from that. One thing to remember is that it's really seductive. So you may be thinking like, hey, Dr. Gifford, you know, like the things that are being said aren't that bad. No, imagine that someone really kind to you in a time where you're frustrated at work says, you know what, maybe you should quit your job because you deserve to be respected. You know what happens in that moment is you say, oh man, they're right. I should. Yeah. It's much easier to filter out the blatantly sinful things as if the chatbot therapist were telling you to do ungodly, illegal activity. But wait till the day whenever you're frustrated. Remember back to what I plugged in the third segment that I asked the chatbot therapist, should I divorce my wife? And my wife's name is Amber. We're good. We're fine. Like, just to be clear, like, we're not fighting and there's no unresolved conflict. And I thought it would say, none of my business. You know, you need to talk to somebody about that. But again, it went back to you need to talk to your wife. If your wife doesn't listen to you, you deserve someone that will listen to you. And if she refuses to take serious what you bring up, then maybe it is time to move on. And I thought to myself, how dare you? How dare you? You're dabbling in something that is not your lane. So if you're just thinking, yeah, I can filter out the bad stuff and use it, I don't know if you can, because there are times when you're tired, you feel ignored, you feel disrespected, and someone steps in and says, yeah, you should be listened to. So be discerning about your susceptibility and also your kid's susceptibility. I would recommend that you treat generative AI like a company that needs to be deplatformed before it goes woke or because it's woke. So let me explain that. Don't use the generative AI stuff until it promotes and preserves a conservative worldview and a Christian one. In America, I do think one of the ways that we influence the most is by not using something or not visiting that store or buying that product. Use chat platforms that have a conservative worldview. And what you'll see is that there's a balance, because right now, the software engineers at Google or Meta, they're the ones that are actually putting forward a lot of these algorithms, which are dangerous. They're dangerous. So if you're going to use it, start to move towards conservative platforms or platforms that are actually tampering or balancing both perspectives. So should you use it? Yeah, I think you should use it, but it really comes down to two basic ways that we use generative AI. And here is where we landed on it at the Masters University. The first is that I would use it in the same way that you use Google. Even on this show, you'll hear Todd say, hey, Jimmy, look up on the AI machine, and then Jimmy will research something. That is the first way that we should use generative AI. Research. Reference Bibles are even a form of technology. And what we're doing is we're saying, hey, where is that Bible verse? Where does Paul go here? And then Google's going to generate content on that. When we use generative ChatGPT or generative AI, we treat it like we would Reddit or Wikipedia. It's not authoritative. It has issues. But in the end, it's helping you harvest information to read and discern. So yeah, I do think you should use it, and use it as research, or use it in Bible translation and Bible study. But you're not using it in relationships, counseling, wisdom seeking, and it's definitely not becoming a person to me. It's not becoming a friend. It's not becoming my confidant, my therapist, a boyfriend or girlfriend. So here, wretched listeners, I would encourage you, let me give you a final thought today. Don't run from technology. You know, some will make every new technology the mark of the beast, and this is how the end times will be ushered in. Don't run. I wonder how people would have felt when a calculator started, the internet started, television started. Of course, you're discerning, but don't run. These things can actually be used as a means of Christ being honored and glorified. And if he is truly the head over all things, that means that even algorithms can work for the lordship of Christ. So no fear, no fear. We're not going to live in fear. Lastly, I just want to say thank you for letting me be a part of Wretched today. This is my first time hosting. Todd is out doing whatever he does. And I have had the privilege of getting to be with you guys with Todd, but never just by myself. So thank you for having me. I hope you have a great day. And as Todd would say, go serve your king.